Well, Mary, raise your hand back there. Mary Scott, there you go. She's back with us today after some surgeries. Good to see her. Well, let's begin with the introduction. I think you'll agree with the first statement. We humans are a stubborn lot. Amen. Non-negotiable. There it goes. We humans are a stubborn lot. Spiritual blindness, self-will, and an inborn. Underline the word inborn, and it refers to the old sin nature. Now remember, every human being is born with an old sin nature. And even after you become a Christian, you retain the old sin nature. So there's going to be a battle within you until the day that you die. And you have to choose which one is going to sit on the throne of your life. Will it be the Holy Spirit of God, or will it be the old sin nature? We humans are a stubborn lot. Spiritual blindness, self-will, and an inborn habit of disobedience all work against the humility and submission God desires. Believers who should know better have a hard time with a simple directive to trust and obey. Anyone who has watched gluttons shoveling down the most exquisite food as if they did not know what they were eating will admit that we can ignore even pleasure. But pain insists upon being attended to. God whispers to us in our pleasures. He speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. It is His megaphone to rouse a deaf world. Well, here's the question. Number one, what is a major purpose of God's judgments? Underline the word judgments and write the word wrath. When you write the word wrath, then move out just a little bit and write wrath that comes with repentance. The wrath of God we are seeing in the book of Revelation comes with repentance. Now, what is repentance? You should know it by now. It is metanoeo. It is a change of mind that leads to a change of direction and a change of behavior. It is your unbelief being changed into belief in the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. So what is a major purpose of God's judgments, God's wrath that comes with repentance in Revelation? It is to seize the world's attention when it refuses to listen. Well, let's look at verse 1. When He, the Lamb, look at the word "the." It is a definite article in the Greek language, meaning there is only one Lamb of this kind. There is only one Jesus Christ of His kind. He is the only begotten Son of the living God. So there's only one like Jesus Christ. And remember that Jesus Christ is God. And if you say that He's not God, then you cannot be saved. I don't care how you argue the situation. When He, the Lamb, which is Jesus Christ, broke open the seventh seal, there was silence. Underline the word silence. This is the calm before the storm. This is the calm before the storm. There was silence in heaven for about half an hour. That is, in all of God's impending judgment. So they're getting ready to view and see the wrath and judgments that are going to come from the throne of God. Well, let's look at this word silence. This silence will be a period of preparation for the greater conflict that is to follow. In this silence, God says, "Give me your eyes so you may see what you must see. Give me your ears so you will hear what you need to hear. Give me your mind so you will understand what needs to be understood. And give me your heart that you may be spiritually strong and you may become open to spiritual things, that you may repent quickly as opportunity remains." Underline the word opportunity. It is a reference to God-made opportunity. You'll not repent unless you are divinely enabled or persuaded by the Holy Spirit of God that is in you as a Christian. If you are an unbeliever, you cannot make a step towards God. He is the one that makes a step towards you to begin with. So therefore, unless you are divinely persuaded, you'll not follow in the things that God would have you do. So remember, it is not you that brings about opportunity to repent. It is the living God that brings it to you. And you must respond in the right way. Verse 2. Then I, the Apostle John, saw. Underline the word saw. And this is what he's saying. Then I saw, as God enabled me to see into the future, into the spiritual realm. Look at that letter I, and I want you to write your name, because God is enabling you as we study and read the book of Revelation to have happen in your life what was happening in the life of John. I'll reread that. Then I saw, as God enabled me to see into the future, into the spiritual realm. Then I saw the, underline the word the, that is a definite article also. It refers to the seven angels. This is a specific group of angels who stand before God. Underline that phrase, stand before God, because in the Greek language it means they were standing when John saw them, and they still stand as a specific group of angels at this very moment to carry out the work and the mission of Almighty God, His agenda. Then I saw the, definite article, seven angels who stand before God. Now, with that phrase underlined, stand before God, write this if you will. These judgments come from the very presence of God. So God is initiating the outworking of His plan. And I'll say it again. Joe Biden is not going to stop the working of Almighty God. Neither are the Democrats going to stop the working of Almighty God. God is in charge, non-negotiable, and His work is being worked out through His presence, through His power and authority. Then I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. Underline the word give. It means a divine permission and authority was given to them to do what they were to do in carrying out the plan of God. Well, look at the word trumpets. It is salphix, salphix. This refers to an instrument of alarm or a call to arms. The New Testament never uses this term to identify a musical instrument. Here, these trumpets will signal God's power over the earth. They're about to find out who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I want you to look at verse 3. Another angel came and stood at the altar. He had a golden censer and much incense. Underline the word incense. Incense was a symbol of prayer, and here's the reason why. Because the smoke went up and disappeared from the visible realm to the invisible realm. When you pray, that prayer begins here on earth in the visible realm. Is that correct? And then when we get through praying, and as we are praying, the prayer goes up into the invisible realm, into the presence of the Lord God. And incense was given to him so that he might add it to the prayers of all the saints. What are the saints? They are children of God that have been saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. All right? So that he might add it to the prayers of all the saints of God's people on the golden altar in front of the throne. Here's a little note. The prayers of the saints do affect God. The prayers of the saints do affect God. And that should encourage you and I to pray and pray and pray and keep on praying. Well, let's go to page 2. Look at the word prayers. We are commonly taught that God's answer to prayer will be yes, no, or wait. Do you find it hard to wait, Sharon? You don't have to answer that one. Here we observe that unanswered prayers are sometimes stored up until God chooses to answer them in His perfect timing. Question: is God ever insensitive to your suffering or inattentive to your prayers? The answer is no. Our prayers to God are like a sweet fragrance to Him, and somehow angels assist in lifting those prayers to God's attention. Verses 5 through 7. So the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and hurled it to the earth. Now this is occurring before God in heaven. He knows exactly what's taking place and what time is taking place. And there were peals of thunder and loud rumblings and sounds and flashes of lightning and earthquakes. This is referring to the presence of Almighty God. Then the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound them, initiating the judgments or the wrath of God once again that comes with repentance. The first angel sounded his trumpet, and there was a storm of hail and fire mixed with blood, and it was hurled to the earth, and a third of the earth was burned up. And a third of the trees were burned up. And all the green grass was burned up. Now here's a little note. You have a charred earth. You have ash and smoke and blood everywhere. The first trumpet blast. This judgment will target one third of the earth's vegetation. Hail and fire are hurled to the earth, and I promise you, you don't want to be under this hail and fire that is being hurled by the power of Almighty God down here on planet Earth. The blood mixed with the hail and fire could be a reference to the blood of people struck or even killed by the hail. Here's a note. This is a fulfillment of Joel chapter 2, verses 30 and 31. This is a repetition of the seventh Egyptian plague. Now listen closely. That plague was literal. That plague was literal. Why should not this be the same? It is amazing how people get into the book of Revelation and they say, well, this is not literal. This is symbolic. It was real in Egypt. And it's going to be real when the time comes for it to be hurled down from heaven once again. One third of the vegetation of the earth burns. Imagine the Amazon rainforest, the Central African rainforest, and the forest of Yellowstone and Yosemite National Parks all burning at one time. The results will be devastating. Talk about air pollution, soil erosion, water contamination. The remaining vegetation could not consume the carbon dioxide and other hothouse gases produced by modern civilization and industry. The world's already stressed ecological system would begin to collapse. You going to call 911 or you going to call your government? Forget your government. Your government is going to say, how do we survive this? How do we spin this to bring politics into this so we can gain the advantage? There won't be a damn thing they can do. God is on the move. God is active. God is initiating His agenda. You need to have what? Eyes to see what's taking place, ears to hear what's taking place, a mind enlightened by the living God to know all of this is going to happen. And brother, if you happen to be in the midst of it, there is still room and time for repentance. But more than likely at this time, you will die. Would you like to die saved? or unsaved. Thank you. Verses 8 and 9. The second angel sounded his trumpet that he was given. And something like a great mountain blazing with fire was hurled into the sea. And a third of the sea was turned to blood. That is literal blood. Look it up in the Greek language. Guess what blood will do when it is left alone for a while? It will coagulate. What happens when blood coagulates? It gets very, very thick. I promise you, I've seen it. I've stood by it. It's not something you want to stand around. The second angel sounded his trumpet, and something like a great mountain blazing with fire was hurled into the sea. And a third of the sea was turned to blood. And a third of the living creatures that were in the sea died. Is this creatures on top of the water? Or is it creatures on the very bottom of the waters that this is going to affect? We'll look at it in a moment. And a third of the living creatures that were in the sea died. Can you imagine the stench that you cannot run away from that this is going to produce? And a third of the ships were destroyed. The second trumpet blast. This blast will affect one third of the sea. This enormous devastation strikes both life in its depths and ships on its surface. Top of page 3. John witnessed something like a great mountain engulfed in flames cast into the sea. The image of water turning to blood recalls the divine judgment of God through Moses described in Exodus 7, 17 through 19. That's real. It's literal. He's coming back with these things. Why did he do these specific judgments back in the days of Pharaoh, back in the days we talk about of Egypt there at this particular time? Because he knew he was going to bring these judgments back. In fact, most of them. If they were real then, and you have no problem then of these being real, then you should have no problem whatsoever of them coming back to be real once again. The image of water turning to blood recalls the divine judgment of God through Moses described in Exodus 7, 17 through 19. This mountain envisioned by John could be an asteroid that will strike the ocean. The tsunami alone caused by this kind of impact would inflict the extent of death and destruction described in verse 9. Think of the impact on human life. Let's unveil it. Those who depend on ocean life for food would suffer hunger and hardship on an unprecedented scale. There will be a great disruption in global trade. If you think it is tough now, just wait until this specific time is unveiled. There will be a crisis of security. My friends, you think you're seeing things happen today? No security. Certain kind of governments don't want security. Defund the police. Let me tell you something. What has happened, what is happening now, cannot measure nor touch in any way what is coming in reference to that area. There will be a crisis of security. You're going to be calling for law enforcement. My friends, there won't be any law enforcement in the right way. World navies will be significantly reduced. Verses 10 through 11. The third angel sounded his trumpet, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, flashing across the sky. And it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of fresh waters. The name of the star is Wormwood. Wormwood, underline and write, it is divine judgment. It is divine judgment. It is the wrath of Almighty God coming down in a different form. Did you notice? It comes in this form. It comes in a different form. It comes in another form. What is God saying to unbelieving mankind that is living and surviving at the moment. Do you not understand the wrath of God is being poured out upon planet Earth? And unless you repent, you will die unsaved. You will spend an eternity in the lake of fire. You will stand before the great white throne judgment, the judgment of all unbelievers, the judgment of damnation. And Jesus Christ will sentence you into the lake of fire forever and forever and forever, because there is no, and I'll say it, there is no purgatory, period, that is non-negotiable. If you don't get it while you're alive, you ain't going to get it after you're dead. Do you understand?
Amen.
Thank you. The name of the water is wormwood, and a third of the waters became wormwood, and many people died from the water because they had become bitter, and that is toxic. Judgments on land and sea have brought it to its knees. The third trumpet blast. One third of the fresh water springs, rivers, and bodies of water are impacted. How do you like it? There's nothing worth drinking anymore. Have you ever been really thirsty? I'm talking about really thirsty. Your mouth got dry. You couldn't even speak hardly. You couldn't say a word hardly. And you couldn't wait to get home to get an ice cold glass of tea. But I'll settle for ice water if that's all you got. Well, you won't have any, because think of the things that is made out of fresh water. Think what this is going to do to planet Earth. Here we go. Wormwood, a bitter herb. This name indicates that the waters that had once provided fresh nourishment to the one-third of the world's population will become polluted, poisonous, and many, many are going to die. Verse 12. Then the angel, the fourth angel, sounded his trumpet. And a third of the sun, underline the word sun. Was the sun ever worshipped by heathens, pagans? Yes. Isn't it something? You've got sun here. And what about the moon? Was the moon ever worshipped? Heavenly bodies worshipped. And were the stars ever worshipped? Isn't it amazing? God says, now I'll get to those if you don't mind. You've been worshiping them, some of you, for a very long time. But I'm going to show you who has power over them. I'm going to show you who has created them. I'm going to show you who has sustained them and put them where they have been for so, so long. Then the fourth angel sounded his trumpet. And a third of the sun and a third of the moon and a third of the stars were struck, so that a third of them would be darkened. Underline the word darkened. Darkened means darkness has always been a sign of God's judgments. Darkness has always been a sign of God's judgments. And here's a second note. Heavenly bodies were often worshipped. And let's read on. So that a third of them would be darkened, and a third of the daylight would not shine, and the night in the same way would not shine. Well, lost power will be experienced by many. Desperation. What kind of desperation? You ever been desperate? Nothing like this. Nothing like this. This kind of desperation has never appeared on planet Earth. It has never appeared in the life of a human being that's ever been born. Desperation. You know what desperation is? I can't do anything about it. I can't stop it. My family's thirsty. They're dying from a lack of good water. And there's not a dadgum thing I can do. Jesus said, oh yes, there is. He says, repent. Repent and come to Jesus and accept Him as personal Lord and Savior while there is still time, while there is still God opportunity on planet Earth. For once, I'm going to take it away. Just keep reading about the judgments. Finally, you come to judgments where God says the door is closed, opportunity is gone, and you're damned. And many will stand at the great white throne judgment, the judgment of unbelievers, and say, boy, you're a rotten God. You didn't give us an opportunity. You didn't give us time. He said, oh, I gave you way more than you needed. But you were too much of your own little God. You thought you could call the government, they'll fix it. You thought even you could fix it some way. You had enough money. You had enough insurance money. I had gold. I had silver. Sorry, God doesn't take it. Lost power will be experienced by many. Desperation and despair. Anarchy. You're seeing BLM. You're seeing Antifa. How they can do what they do when they're loosed. Desperation. You've never seen this kind. You might want to make a note. It's never existed like this. Despair has never existed like this. Then there's anarchy. You've never seen it like this. You say, oh, I've seen some rough stuff. Really? Well, the Bible says you've never seen anything like it. I'll read it in a moment. Then there's chaos. Rioting. Looting. And crime and natural darkness will elevate the horrors experienced around the globe. Page 4. Matthew 24:21. Now here we go. For at that time there will be a great tribulation, that is pressure, distress, oppression. Now focus on what follows next. Such as has not occurred since the beginning of the world until now. So what we've just read that you don't like, that is so horrible. And you say, oh man, I've experienced some of this. Then the Bible says you're a liar. The Bible says no man has experienced what I will unleash on planet Earth. One thing is clear. The judgment described in Revelation will be so dreadful that no amount of government aid. Where's that check in the mail? Where's the military? Where's the special police? No relief efforts. No Salvation Army? Nobody to bring food on 18-wheelers? Well, the 18-wheelers are doing good to survive themselves. You want rotten food? What do you think you're going to get fresh during this time? When everything's either got blood in it, it's dried up, it's been poisoned. And you think you're going to go to McDonald's and have a Happy Meal? Jesus says you better get your mind open and your ears open and your eyes to see and your mind to understand. For I am giving you a window of opportunity that is already on its way to being closed. Or advanced preparation, will it be able to bring recovery? Nah. Principles, very quickly. Number one, God uses physical disasters to communicate spiritual messages. Number two, God's harsh judgments have a holy purpose. And number three, God won't stop until, you better get this one. You ain't stopping God, and He won't stop until His plan is accomplished. So you better toss your plan and your agenda, because God says, I'm going by mine all the way. Amen. Unstoppable. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for this book that some say, it scares me, I don't want to listen to it. To me, it is a very positive word. It enables me, while in this fleshly body on planet Earth, to see into the future and what is going to take place. The Word of God gives us sight. That's positive here. You see, Jesus is saying, you can avoid my wrath. When I come to you and present to you my rescue plan, my plan of divine deliverance from sin, the power of it. If you'll accept it by faith, and faith is a gift that I hold out to you, enabling you to do what I ask you to do in the reach of salvation. Jesus says, I've died for you. That's how much I love you. But I'm a holy God, and I'll not tolerate what I'm seeing too long. And when I come, I'm coming with wrath, yet with repentance, but with repentance for only a short time. Lord Jesus, bring your conviction. Let it fall. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Stay.